Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. It is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Damn glad to have you on a beautiful Tuesday. Looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it
outside.
Looks like it's going to be nice out there today.
60 degrees, high of 73. Good day to get your walking in or your jogging in or your yogging.
Yogging.
Silent gym. That's right.
People think some of that stuff's rehearsed. That was not.
No. Not a chance. Definitely not a rehearsed guy.
No. Mac, do you get that reference?
I do not.
Okay.
Anchorman.
Anchorman.
Oh, okay.
Some people call it yogging, or is it?
Show you what a real skater's body looks like. Blades of Glory.
I was going to say, he hasn't been funny in a while. And he's
his
like,
new commercial's funny.
PayPal's funny.
The PayPal commercial is great.
Old Will Ferrell, too.
Yeah.
Would you please get out of the way? I'd like to pay. No, like, I want to pay now, please.
Like seriously, move. Yeah.
That's the Will I love.
Right.
He's got a documentary coming out pretty soon that looks pretty interesting.
On what?
I don't know if it's Netflix or not, but it's about his buddy and he that were on SNL, and they basically wrote a lot of the skits together, and then his buddy came out as a transgender and how he had to deal with that and cope with it early on, and now it's obviously a little bit more of an open topic.
So cool. All right.
There's a lot of good stuff coming to Netflix. There's a Vince McMahon documentary coming that I can't wait.
I'm excited for that.
And you know he's getting cooked in that thing because he came out yesterday with a press release. It was like, just remember there's two sides to every story. We know the story.
Yeah.
That's why Brock Lesnar has been wiped off the face of the earth because you two are scumbags.
Yeah.
Go listen to John Oliver's bit on Vince McMahon. It's great.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's
that's
going to
be really good. You had asked a question yesterday, who should have the next documentary, right?
And
my first response was Jerry Jones.
Never happened.
Mm-hmm. No, that guy will pay more money to have a documentary not released on him than would because, I mean, just based on the video that surfaced over the weekend with Jamie Foxx that was sitting there with him. Jerry Jones does not want any kind of documentary made telling the real story behind the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. I don't know about. I'm trying to think of who it would be, like a documentary. I mean, there's obvious ones. Like, there's certain politicians that you can see. There's going to be one.
Yeah, but I'm like, from like a sports standpoint, Jerry Jones would be the most interesting, right? I think Jerry Jones would be by far the most interesting documentary. If somebody was going to do a tell-all and reveal all the secrets of everything, everything that Jerry Jones has been involved in since 1989 when he bought the Dallas Cowboys, from that version, the White House, you know, incidents that took place down there, Jimmy Johnson and firing him, you know, all the stuff that has taken place over the last 40 years in the NFL, the relocation of the Rams and all that. Like, I think it would be a fascinating documentary that the league and Jerry Jones would probably not want out.
Stan Kroenke would be a good one.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting one. I don't think he has the same type of
of course not, but everybody
pizzazz.
I'd like to know the details.
Yeah.
I want names.
Yeah, you want names and all that. It'd be interesting. Like, he's so rich and successful. I like that aspect of him. But again, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he married into that. So
that'd be nice.
You know, exactly.
David Stern would be a good one.
David Stern would be good. Yeah, but he's dead now, so like,
well, that's why it would happen.
You know, he can't rebut all that. I think Roger Goodell, a documentary on Roger Goodell would be very entertaining. Yep. And you know,
I like Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
Go rank his best roles. All right, let's get into Start Bench Cut here, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service.
Here's Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start Bench Cut.
All right, Dr. Mackenstein, take it away as we get into our start bench cut. For those of you that don't understand how this game works, it is just like FMK. So
we will do one sports, one more silly, fun, topical. We'll start with the three AFC West teams, not named the Kansas City Chiefs. Start bench cut between the Raiders, the Broncos, the Chargers. Go.
I'm going to start the Broncos right now.
That's right.
I'm going to bench the Raiders, and I'm cutting the Chargers at this point in time with all those injuries. That's why I'm cutting them. Now, if they were healthy, I would probably start the Chargers, but both of your tackles are potentially out, your quarterback's potentially out, and one of your best defensive players is a dirty player trying to injure people, and he may be suspended for this game. So I'm going to start Bo Nix and the Broncos. I'm going to bench the Raiders, and I'm going to cut the Chargers right now until they get healthy.
Dustman?
I'm going to do a little bit of similarities to that. I'm going to start Denver. just because Bo Nix looked good. They beat Tampa Bay. I'm riding high with that right now just because this week. It could all change next week if we did the same thing again. But right now I would start Denver because, well, they have a quarterback and no controversy with that. I'm benching the Chargers. The reason why I bench the Chargers and don't cut them is because if they are injured right now, I can bench them, let them rest. If Herbert comes back, Alt comes back, and they start to kind of get their pieces. It looks like Quentin Johnson finally found his home in the NFL. Last year, a very, very struggling year. Now, again, Justin Herbert's out, so we'll see how that all seems to play out for them. And then I'm cutting Vegas. It took 3 weeks for Antonio Pierce to lose his cool.
I'm disappointed.
Business decisions need to be made. We don't think it's Max. We don't think it's Devontae. But now they're talking about trading Devontae Adams again. Max Crosby's going to lose his mind because he's going to be the only talented player on that team. They don't know if they want to go with Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. They are going to go with Gardner Minshew again this week. But I'm cutting the Vegas Raiders because they're still a mess. They still suck. Their quarterback or their head coach is starting to lose it a little bit by, you know, worrying about things that you shouldn't worry about in week three of NFL season with business decisions. Mm-hmm. But that's my start bench cut. I start Denver, I bench LA because of the injuries, and I cut Vegas because of the worries.
All righty. I'm going to start LA. Going to start the Chargers. They're 2-1. Yeah, I know the injuries. So what if they lose this week? They're going to have those guys back sooner rather than later. Alt isn't season-ending. Rashawn Slater's not season-ending. Herbert couldn't have played this week. He did. Not season-ending. They'll be fine. If they're 2-2, they'll still be able to make it second in this division, possibly even the playoffs. They have the best head coach of these three teams. I don't even think that's a discussion. Harbaugh's come in, rebuilt that culture. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think they'll get through the injuries, especially on the defensive side. I'm going to bench... Yeah, I'll bench the Broncos. This is a good win. I'll give them credit. I still think they're really bad.
Is their win at Tampa Bay more impressive than Vegas' home win against Baltimore?
No, I don't think so.
Two impressive wins in the AFC
West. Two impressive wins, though.
By two bad teams.
Well, I don't think the Tampa team is in the same category as Baltimore,
though. It's at Tampa, so that's more impressive. You did it at home against Baltimore. But yeah, Baltimore is, elite.
And your quarterback was the best quarterback in that game.
Seriously.
Yeah. Over Baker Mayfield, who's a top three quarterback right now, according to statistical research.
That's why you don't look at stats. But Bo Nix, man, best rookie quarterback in the league right now until Jaden Daniels showed up last night.
Exactly, until Jaden Daniels got a chance.
He's been around for 2 weeks.
But yeah, I'll cut the Raiders too. Right. Yeah, it seems like
just
Pierce has lost the guys. Yeah.
It's not a strategical cut. It's a very, very good cut.
I had them second in our division, you know. But
the Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Felt good after 2 weeks, but yeah, I don't know.
Who does finish second in this division?
Nobody. They all finish dead last.
All right, let's get to the fun ones.
All right, Kmart, Target, and Walmart. Didn't you say, Bob, Kmart's closing? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, Kmart is closing its final store.
Damn.
Yeah, final store is closing.
I loved Kmart.
So of the threes, I'm going to start Target, I'm going to bench Kmart, and I'm cutting Walmart. I have no interest in ever going to Walmart.
I think we all agree to this,
Leo. Yeah. Easy.
Target's great for many reasons. You go to the clearance aisle around 2 o'clock, 8 dawn. A lot of Lululemon in those aisles.
Mm.
A lot of Scentsy candles. That's right. Mm. Yeah, on the come. 2 o'clock, Target, clearance aisle. Thank me later.
Target has Lululemon?
No, but the people that shop in there do.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I got you. Okay.
Welcome to the horny phase, Bob.
Bonk.
I was the one that got caught, not you.
That's why I wear sunglasses inside. Kmart was great back in the day because I used to collect wrestling action figures as a kid. I was just completely wrapped in the Attitude Era of the WWF at the time, not WWE. Kmart just always had like a little honey hole. Like when we would go shop for Beanie Babies, we'd go to like, you know, Petals and Potpourri. We'd go to the little mom and pop stores that you'd go in the back and look at like, you
never went to a back room at a mom and pop store.
Oh, yeah. They had these little wicker
baskets.
Those
weird videos.
Oh, nah, dude. That's like in the adult video stores. But they had these little wicker baskets, and you go back there and be like, is that a Princess Diana bear? Oh, my God. We found one in the wild. Just like at Kmart, you'd go find those rare wrestling action figures when you were a kid. Walmart, I have no business.
Now that I no longer
work in the restaurant industry, I don't have to buy slip-resistant shoes. That's the only reason I would go to Walmart, and then I found out they had them at, like, Famous Footwear. I don't know the last time I've been to a Walmart.
I couldn't tell you the last time I've been inside of a Walmart. Now, I've done that's where I got my Blackstone at, because it was really cheap at Walmart compared to everywhere else. So, I got there. That was back in February. You sit outside, they bring it out to your car type of thing. I'm definitely out on the Walmart. Kmart always had the Blue Light Special, which I thought was great, too.
Yeah.
You know, Blue Light Special, aisle three, and everybody run over there and get whatever candle it was that you wanted. What do birds say when they fly over Kmart?
Mm.
Cheap, cheap.
Okay, let's move on to our next start bench cut. I think this one's good. This one's a little harder. Three amazing shows, Emmy Award winning. The Office, Parks and Recreation, 30 Rock, all under that kind of same genre, same time period as well. What would you say?
I'm going to go actually in that order. Office, okay. Start, Parks and Rec, Bench, 30 Rock, Cut. And it's because I never got really into 30 Rock like I did to The Office and Parks and Rec. Yeah.
I would start The Office, bench 30 Rock, and cut Parks and Recs because Parks and Recs just copied The Office.
Well, so did 30 Rock, though. I mean, they're all kind of the same.
Yeah, they're all a little bit of the same.
Yeah.
At least 30 Rock was funny.
Damn.
I know Chris Pratt. He's great. Ron Swanson's a cult classic.
Yeah, this is tough.
Rashida Jones was always on my list, man. I loved her back in the day. She was in Saved by the Bell years and years ago, and I've always found her to be just absolutely attractive. So,
yeah, I guess I'll go the same as you, Bob, but I guess I'm much closer. Parks and Rec is close to first for me against The Office, but I will start The Office.
Okay. That's this week's version of Start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service, 913-586-7965. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line here on Fesco and Dusty. On the other side, we have a conversation about Patrick Mahomes because you know what? Sometimes it's okay to do that. I promise. He's still an MVP favorite. I'm Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, rolling along. Don't forget, in about 25 minutes, you have a chance at winning, or at least qualifying to winning, a $500 Hy-Vee gift card.
Yeah, here's what we're going to do. Each day this week at 9:35, we're going to play a highlight with the name of the Chiefs player out, and you have to guess who that is. Each day, a qualifier will be entered into the pot, and on Friday, one of five qualifiers will be drawn to win that $500 Hy-Vee gift card. So all you have to do is be listening around 9:35, know who the missing chief is, guess that chief, be caller number 15 at 913-586, whatever the number is, 7965, and you have an opportunity to qualify. One winner each day will qualify, and then Friday we'll draw the winner. It's a pretty good gift, man. $500 gift card to Hy-Vee.
No doubt about it.
Went in there yesterday, saved 22 cents on gas.
Hell yeah. I think another reason why I don't support Walmart is because they support the Denver Broncos.
That's right. They are owned. Yeah, that's right.
And they're best friends with Jerry Jones.
That's right.
So it's also probably the number one TikTok or Instagram reel where there's a fight in a store.
Daily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched
also when that trend was going around of people like opening ice cream and licking it.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
That to me is what caused COVID.
I'm sorry. What was happening?
I don't remember that.
Oh, I don't even think I heard about this.
It's disgusting.
Kids would go into the freezer aisle, take the top off of like a Bluebell Bunny, like pint of ice cream, and lick the top of it, put the lid back on, and put it in the freezer.
But doesn't it have plastic wrap on there?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're just raw tonguing it.
It's terrible.
A lot of people blame that or the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Which
that chicken sandwich is delicious.
So good.
I don't know if it's just like the sauce.
God.
Yeah, you don't remember this?
It's like terrible. Literally, no, right, I know you hate that, Bob.
Like,
people, I'm sorry.
They started cracking down, like arresting kids for doing it.
Good.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Put them in jail.
Right.
That's disgusting. No, it is. It's gross. When you start having an impact like that on other people, you're a jerk.
For some clicks, for some views on your stupid TikTok.
Yeah, they just ripped the top of the ice cream off, lick it, put it back in there. And you had no idea somebody did this. Yep. Would you rather buy one of those knowing someone licked the top of your ice cream, or go try one of those little trophies in the bathroom that someone left on the wall that's been there for 90 days? That's tough. By the way, if anybody, if Max said ice cream, dude, I ain't eating somebody's little nose treasure.
Eating somebody else's boogers or somebody else's licked ice cream at Walmart?
Tough times.
Yeah.
Tough times.
At least the booger has protein. I don't know.
Oh, God. I really do.
I do need to know if anybody knows anybody about DNA testing, because I do want to get those things. There's obviously DNA in a nose treasure, right?
Yeah, I would imagine, unless it died by now. Those boogers have been on the wall for 100 days at least, at minimum 100 days.
For those of you that don't understand this reference, somebody in the men's bathroom has left two treasures on the wall, and they're still there, and they've been there since... when did Welsh leave?
I mean, that's been years.
That's what I think.
No, they haven't been up that long. I want to say since about April.
They've been up since before the Royals season started.
Yeah, I would imagine right at the beginning of baseball season, these things have been stuck to the wall.
And we're at game 158.
Yeah, we got six of the games to go. We're about 6 months into this thing.
Will they be there by the time the Chiefs play in the third straight Super Bowl?
Yeah, of course they will.
I'm not touching anything. Just like there's a Caesar salad in our fridge where it says everything gets tossed on Monday.
No, it doesn't.
My ass. That Caesar salad now looks like a brown paper sack that Jerry Jones
is
wants.
Is it still in there?
Yes. Every Friday I do an Instagram live video of like what it looks like. That's why I do my cheese prediction. Spread it out to the people and said, we're still here. The lettuce is now like slimy. Who's having sex with Jerry Jones?
Oh, God. I just want to vomit right now.
A lot of people would say that they're not worried. Which they shouldn't be worried. Worry is not the word. That Mahomes hasn't played very well. He's the one that quoted and said that about himself.
That's right.
He says, quote, I haven't played very well. I need to get back to my fundamentals and put guys in better position. Says his footwork stuff and getting his base right are key. Mitchell Schwartz, who Fridays, obviously with Mitchell Schwartz at the Buffalo Wild Wings location, you can always figure out where he's going to be at when you listen to the promotion. His fundamentals, he says, were pretty dang good in the first half against Baltimore. Lots of football between then and now. They don't just disappear for no reason. Mac, what does that mean to you when you hear Mitchell Schwartz say something like that?
I mean, coming from an all-pro right tackle, I think that's some sort of innuendo at the offensive line and the inability to give him a clean pocket, and that he's kind of now trying to do too much, and maybe wide receivers aren't in the right spot, and the offensive missteps and miscues maybe are starting to take a toll on the fundamentals and the mental of Mahomes in the pocket.
I'd like to ask Mitchell Schwartz what he meant by that tweet, though, because I thought the line protection's been pretty good. I thought they were fine on, you know, Saturday or Sunday night against Atlanta. They didn't really get to Patrick Mahomes all that much. And look, I think the days of having a clean pocket in this league is, again, as we've talked about a lot this week, the speed, the quickness, the athleticism that's on defense right now. Mm. We're asking, like, our guys on the offensive line to be perfect when it's impossible to be perfect, because there are 22 athletes on the field now, right? That didn't used to necessarily be the case. There used to be maybe, you know, a lumpy Rutherford here or there, and you could, you know, kind of scheme around and not worry about some of those guys at times. But now you have to worry about every defensive player on the field. The defenses have gotten better. They're figuring things out. They're becoming as good, if not better now, than some of the offensive players are. And so I think that has to factor in as well. But, I mean, I have no concerns about Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, some balls have been underthrown, and, you know, you'd like to have him back. But, again, expectation is, if you're expecting Patrick Mahomes to be perfect every single time, then you have to readjust those expectations. I think people that are, I guess you could say, upset or worried about Patrick Mahomes have the expectation that he's going to be 50 and 5,000. And that may not be that. He may never reach 50 and 5,000 again. Am I a little going, he needs to get better? Sure. Everybody needs to get better after their first 3 weeks, but by no means should anybody be in panic mode with this guy right now.
He's 64 of 92. That's almost 70%. League averages is right around 64 to 65%.
Pretty damn good.
Completion percentage. He's thrown for 659 yards, 5 touchdowns. The number I think that's really affected a lot of people's perspective is the 4 interceptions. Because I can think of 3 that are just kind of like those head scratchers where you're like, huh? And the ones that I think of are the one this week against Atlanta in the corner, like almost in the end zone, where you're like, what was that? The one against Cincinnati right over the middle to the linebacker.
Yeah, that was a bad judgment play by him.
And the second one that I thought was a little off key was the interception to Cameron Taylor-Britt, where he underthrew Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, how do you underthrow Xavier Worthy with your arm? Those are the 3 that are kind of the questionable ones, at least in my opinion, of the 4. And I think that's what, like, even watching that Atlanta game and watching with a group of people, he throws an interception and everybody's not like the, damn it, Patrick. It was just the, what?
Yeah.
Like, what did he, what was that?
Yeah.
And then you think about the Cincinnati one.
The Cincinnati one for me was that.
To the linebacker, you're like, and I think this is where we are with Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, will join the drive today at 3:15 with Carrington and Rob. I think the thing that's crazy about this is that these aren't the Alex Smith throws, right, where we'd see it and we'd be like, yeah, well, there's another one. The Mahomes interceptions are always either it's a tipped pass or it's like, how's he do? Why is he doing that? Right? Like, why is that? You know, what? Where was he thinking of? Where was he planning on doing that? Like, we don't understand the interception sometimes. And that's because, in my mind, you have a feeling that it's because he had a brain fart or it was a split decision that he normally doesn't do. And I can imagine, I mean, look, his interceptions throughout his career have kind of gone on an uptick. In 2021, he threw 13. In 2022, he threw 12. Last year, he had the most of his career with 14.
Yeah.
He's thrown four this year in three games.
How many of those interceptions last year, though, were because Kadrapius couldn't
seven
catch?
Or eight.
Yeah,
I think
right,
there were
like
seven
all
or eight.
Of them. Yeah.
I know at least four by Kadarius Toney were interceptions
right.
because they went off his hands. One was off of Sky Moore's hands. So there's, call it 10 interceptions or nine interceptions last year on his own, just spitballing.
Right.
But I think the thing about Mahomes is, because if you look at what Vegas thinks, Vegas still thinks he has a chance to be the MVP.
Absolutely.
Josh Allen is on a whole other world right now. Nine
yeah.
total touchdowns. Like, literally think about this. This is where Vegas is relaxed with Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen has nine total touchdowns, seven of which are throwing, two of which are running, and he's only plus 300. Mahomes is plus 250 to win MVP.
Yeah, people
zero
still
picks.
Yes. I mean, Josh Allen's playing out of his mind right now. He's playing great
I'm sorry,
football,
other
right?
way around. Josh Allen's plus 250,
right.
Mahomes is plus 300. So Mahomes, who's thrown five touchdowns, four interceptions, and 659 yards, is only, according to Vegas, a hair away from being the MVP favorite in the league, where the other guy has thrown nine or has nine total touchdowns and zero turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen is playing great football. Patrick Mahomes is playing fine football, and Josh Allen is not running away with the MVP thing right now. I do want to apologize to the people watching at home. Sometimes I make weird faces on the camera, right? Sometimes I do. My friend Gene's called me out. My wife has called me out. But a lot of it does come from the text line when I see things that are a little bit ridiculous. And this one comes in here from the 816. From about Patrick Mahomes. I just think he's uncomfortable in Nagy's offensive style.
And then it says maybe.
It's Andy Reid's offense, man.
Wasn't Matt Nagy here when he threw for 50 and 5,000?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
No, he was not. He left that year.
Oh, yeah, because 2017
was Nagy's last year. 2017
was Nagy's last year
here, yeah.
Okay.
So, but
2018, Matt Nagy won Coach of the Year.
It's Andy Reid's offensive system. I mean, it's like people are now grasping for straws. People are saying he's hurt on the text line, saying maybe he's just not on his game right now. And that's okay. You don't have to be on your game in September. But you know when he's on his game? January. And that's what matters.
The other thing that's crazy to think about Patrick Mahomes is that this Sunday will be his 100th start.
Mm-hmm.
And he's about to be 78-22.
78-22. Yeah, in 100 games. Like, think about that, guys. Think about the world in which we're living in right now. We're sitting here nitpicking Patrick Mahomes and, you know, what could potentially be wrong. He's about to win 78 of his first 100 games, which
right.
is nuts. He's already won more games than any other quarterback in his first 100 games, and he's only played in 99 of them.
The other thing that's happening is that I think that we've seen this in the past with, I don't know, we've seen this in the past with Mahomes where, like, if a defense changes or makes a different sort of appearance, it takes about 3 weeks for Mahomes to figure it out. Hear me out. When they took away, originally they played the Tampa 2 against the Chiefs, it took Mahomes like three games to really, like, look like himself and get it right. And then once he got the dink and dunk or the ticky-tack kind of Barcelona sort of offense, it was like, well, crap, now he's got this figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Last year when teams were essentially just letting Kadarius Toney screw up everything and let Patrick Mahomes' mind go nuts because he was so frustrated, it took a while. It took about three games. Rashee Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, Travis Kelce. That's all we're going to use.
And it would have been figured out last year had Kadarius Toney, like, done his job.
Right.
You know?
And then you look at this year, first three games of the season, everybody's talking about the too high safety or whatever the hell they want to call it, the taking away the, you know, the plays, right? And it's maybe taken Mahomes a little bit of time to realize what they're doing. This is a game that screams breakout game for your two superstars. This game Sunday screams your Travis and Patrick sort of game. This is what makes you think about that, because you look at Patrick Mahomes, the dot is a declining against all coverages, right? 2024.
His what?
It says ADOT.
What the hell is that?
Ask Mac.
Average depth of target.
There you go. It's declining against all coverages.
Take this segment off.
Okay. Well, verse two highs this year.
Don't know what that means.
Verse two high, well, against different coverage. So, 2024 against two high safeties, 4.6. Last year, 6.4.
What does that mean? Usually a bigger number is better.
It means he's 2 yards fewer than this year than he is last year, which means the league has done something to kind of take away certain plays against not only just the Chiefs, but against everybody trying to go deep and hit the home run ball or trying to get more than 10 yards or 15 yards a play. It's only going to take another week or so, or maybe just one, and maybe it's already been figured out, for Mahomes to adjust to the entire defense in the NFL. You bring this up all the time. The New England Patriots game the first year in the AFC Championship game. Chiefs didn't score a touchdown or have any points the first half.
No points in the first half.
What happened? They went in the locker room, they looked at what they were doing, and they came out, and it was like, I'm ready to go. And if you can do that against Belichick, I'm sorry, you can do that against anybody in the NFL, in my opinion. I think this is one of those weeks where you see Mahomes kind of get back open to his older style of game where it's like, we're not really talking about, which I think is always hilarious to talk about footwork, because Patrick Mahomes is the greatest improvisational quarterback of all time, in my opinion. And he's better outside the pocket when he's moving and he makes those plays. That's why when you see Caleb Williams do those plays, they're like, that's what gives him the Mahomes conversation, is that both those guys, and Caleb Williams is nowhere near his level, obviously, but they're both good at doing that, where instead of the typical sit back, three step, look, hit your read, Mahomes makes things so much more complicated for a defense when he's able to roll out, then plant, and then find whoever got one little mishap away. But again, the league is changing defensively. We know that.
The league is so good on defense now.
They've changed defensively. Cornerbacks are starting to get recognized more and more. That's why Trent McDuffie is going to be the highest paid corner ever for the Kansas City Chiefs here in about another 12 months. The other thing, too, is that there's one thing that can be adjusted. It's Patrick Mahomes once he sees things. And that's what I personally feel. I think the league has changed. I think it's affecting a lot of people. It obviously didn't affect Jaden Daniels last night. But video's out. 3 weeks are out. The script is there for you to adjust to. And I think this could be a week where Patrick Mahomes finally gets out there and everybody goes, okay, that's the Mahomes game we needed.
But it feels like some people need that Mahomes game. People need that Travis Kelce game. I don't. I mean, the only thing that I need, but I don't think we're going to see that anymore. Like I've come back kind of to that pack. Like the Chiefs are a different breed. Like you mentioned Josh Allen, and he's having a great year. But teams don't play Buffalo like they do against Kansas City. They don't look at that as like a Super Bowl. They don't look at that as a bell cow moment. They don't look at that as like a, you win this game, people are going to talk about us and we've arrived type of moment. That only exists for the Chiefs. Everybody plays this team the best they possibly can. When was the last time you can truly remember a team not giving their all against Kansas City? I mean, you really have to, I don't even know. I'm asking the question, like, when was the last time we saw a team just get motorboated by the Chiefs? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think it was at all last year, obviously. It hasn't been so far this year. I don't even know that it goes back the year before. When you have an opportunity to play Kansas City, you're either on national TV or you're in that 325 window, so the majority of the country's watching. Everybody who's on that other team knows if they go out there and play their best game and beat the Kansas City Chiefs, people are going to talk about them as one of the best teams in the NFL. It just doesn't happen against any other team in this league. You go and beat Baltimore, great. You beat the Baltimore Ravens, congratulations. Nicely done by you. You go out and beat the Chiefs, people are saying, all right, the Chiefs are falling in the power rankings. Patrick Mahomes has lost it. Look what this team did to expose this team. And, you know, the list goes on and on. Everybody plays this team like it's their biggest game of the year, because it is their biggest game of the year. And you know, I always make the analogy back to Kansas basketball. When they were dominating and winning the conference 14 straight years, they had to play a team every single night that was playing them like it was the national championship game. Because if you beat them, oh my God, the street cred that you get. Guys raise their level of play. Oh, we're playing Patrick Mahomes this week. All right, we got an opportunity to go out there and be good. We have an opportunity to go out there and send a message. We have a go out there an opportunity to be the talk of this league. Oh, we're playing against Daniel Jones. Whatever, we'll see what happens. But when these teams play against the Chiefs, man, they put themselves in a different gear and a different stratosphere, and it's just harder. With like what the Chiefs are doing right now, the fact that they've won 9 straight games in this league and Jacksonville hasn't won since Thanksgiving or whatever the case may be, man, the Chiefs are getting everybody's best effort and they're not blowing everybody out. They're winning by 1 point here, 3 points there, 4 points there, 2 points there. Like every game is close and they're finding ways to win. This team is just fine.
The last time you got a motorboat
from the Chiefs would have been a year ago today.
Oh, really?
September 24th, they played the Bears. They won 41-10.
Oh, that's right. That Bears game. Yeah, that's right. That's the last time they blew somebody out.
And
then
if you want to give this one credit, October 22nd, they beat the Chargers 31-17. But I think the Chargers actually tried to show up to that
game. What day was that?
That would have been October 22nd.
Of this past year?
2023. Yeah. And then they beat the Bears 41-10 last year.
Yeah.
Because they would start off 2-3-1.
And that made everybody feel great, right? Oh, yeah. We beat the Bears. The Bears.
Well, because they lost to the Lions, and they had a struggling offense against the Jags because Kelsey wasn't right. It was like a random noon game. It was like 100 degrees.
150 degrees.
And Jackson, that's when everybody found out the defense was legit.
Yeah, because those goal line stands at the end. Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. That was the coming out party for the defense. Yeah.
Right. Ready to give away some money?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. All right, we have the you have the highlight ready to go?
Me?
Fire it up if you got it over there.
I got it.
You got it? Nice. All right, Mac, play that highlight.
And now the Chiefs will bring it on an end around. 20, 15 to the Ravens, 10, 4, touchdown! Kansas City rookie! A perfectly executed, well-blocked end around.
If you know who that mystery Chief is, be caller 15 now at 913-586-7965, and you will be entered into the drawing to win that $500 Hy-Vee gift card at the end of the week. Each day at 935, we'll play a highlight. We'll have the player's name bleeped out or whatever that was, no sounded out, and you will have an opportunity, if you know who that player is, to qualify to win that $500 Hy-Vee gift card.
I think I need to go to Hy-Vee today, actually. I've been craving pork chops.
They were 88 cents last week.
I know. I normally always buy like 4 butterfly pork chops.
Oh, so good, man.
Are those better than bone-in pork chops?
I don't know. I mean, they're easier to eat. You don't have to deal with the bone. Mm.
Yeah, you can't text it in. You got to call.
Right, yes.
So don't text it in.
From the 620, LOL, you have zero clue about the competitiveness required to make it to the NFL. And you have zero clue about doing a radio show. What's your point?
But yeah, if you missed it earlier, the Chargers without probably both of their tackles, going to be without Derwin James due to a suspension of player safety protocol.
I mean, that's wild to me.
Well, he's a scumbag.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I have to say. And then someone brings up a crazy stat that 37% of Mahomes' throws have been behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. From the 816, you know what Ludacris said with Tony Dungy? If the Falcons win, it'll be like winning the Super Bowl. Yeah, exactly. He said that on the pregame show. That's what teams do every week. It's Chiefs week. It's time to send a message. It's time to show the rest of the league we're as good as they are. Guys, get up differently for the Chiefs.
Don't forget, every day of the week, 9:30, 9:35, we'll play audio. You guessed that, Chief. Shout out to Josh. Is that right? Josh was our winner today. So you can stop calling. We do have a winner. Coming up, we wrap this show up. We get back into what these Royals need to do in these final six, plus what the Chargers news can do to affect what the excuses will be for the Kansas City Chiefs when they go to 4-0. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey as well. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Final segment. I don't know about you guys. I don't know about you guys. Pretty quick show today. Felt fast. In my opinion.
Yeah. Make sure you join us on YouTube as well, right?
That's right. You can subscribe to the page. I want to say we had a pretty good number. We had a 14, as of right now, 1,412 viewers.
That's good.
Or views. Either way you want to look at it, subscribe to the page. Right. Then when you go on your X account, not the naughty one, the one that you get all your information from sports on, you get a little reminder every morning at 6 o'clock.
There you go.
We think that we it'll hope. Say streaming live now. Mm-hmm. Fesco and Dusty from 96.5 The Fan. So hopefully you can check us out. I think it's always been kind of interesting to see how people kind of indulge on this show. I have a lot of people that reach out to me like, oh, yeah, let's do it on the way to work this morning. Cool. It's classic radio guy. And I've had other people that are like, when I get up in the morning, I treat this show as like First Things First or First Take or whatever it may be, Pat McAfee show, where you use your wicked smart TV
throw on the thing, and it's basically just like a show on ESPN or Fox Sports.
You get but better
local radio. You get to see us do our thing, and you can hear it and still get ready. And then when you get in your car, you just pop it on the FM side dial and go to 96.5 The Fan. You can listen to it there.
Right.
So it's really legitimately, you can now officially be a P1 every day of your life, no matter what your schedule is. Some people may be like, oh, I don't turn you guys on until about 8 o'clock when I get in my car. What are you doing at 6 when you wake up and make coffee and get breakfast ready and get the kids ready for school? Boom.
Put it on.
Smart TV.
Let's go. Yeah, so subscribe on YouTube. Do a Spite subscription because Spectre says nobody will subscribe when we tell them to. So get out there and do a Spite subscription to Spite Spectre on YouTube, 96.5 The Fan, and then watch us.
Somebody says I need to get the bacon-wrapped pork chops with Joe's KC seasoning on it. Not mad about that. I normally do the wet marinade, though, with the pork chops.
Mm-hmm.
I like the lemon pepper, or I do like the Caribbean jerk.
Is that a good one for pork chops?
The Caribbean jerk?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Get like an all-purpose that on there, let them sit in the fridge, and like let that sink in, and then right when you start your grill or you're going to start the Blackstone, soak your pork chops in like a Caribbean jerk.
So real quick marinade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Just let it sit on there for like 30 minutes, let it get hot, and then just, and then you can brush it. Oh, it's so good.
Okay.
I watch you on my phone while I drive. Please be careful.
No, don't do that.
Please be careful.
No.
Please,
we don't want that going
please
on.
Please be careful. I have seen people today in this world where their phone is on their dash and they're driving. I'm like, it seems like a...
Oh, no.
Okay.
Put your phone down and drive. Turn the radio on. That's cool.
Somebody has, from the 913, hell, I have the ears in while I'm listening to you guys, even with my wife wants to get frisky in the AM.
Oh, wow. My wife listens to me when she wants to get frisky, too.
Mm. I can only imagine hearing, like, on the come, and you're just...
on the come.
Actually, what she says
let's
is, hey,
it up.
Sing Brett Veach Town for me.
Okay. I doubt Jen has ever said that.
No, she enjoys it.
Okay. Yeah. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Fellas, my TV is going to be on the Royals tonight. I have no doubt about that. I'm not worried about it. I'm promising you both and to the listeners and the viewers out there as well. I'm going in there with a naked mind. I'm not going to go there with any doubt. I'm not going to go in there with any expectations. I'm going to go in there knowing that Cole Reagans is on the mound, and I'm going to watch a Royals game that starts at 5:45, and I'm going to listen to Vern's pregame show that starts at 4:45.
And this is it, man. This has been a great season, right? We've enjoyed the hell out of this baseball season. It got us to football season. They've won games. They impressed. We had a lot of fun. You know, watching this, over 300,000 more people went out to the ballpark this year than did a year ago. So that's good. The attendance number was up, you know, out of Kauffman Stadium, a 300,000 increase in a season where nobody really had much of an expectation. I think that's a really good increase, a rough increase of people out at the ballpark. So people kind of fell back in love, if you will, with the Royals. But you know what? This season's success or failure is going to be determined what happens over the next six games. And if they don't win enough and they fall short of the playoffs, this will be looked at as a disappointing season and a season where you look back and you go, damn, what went wrong? What happened there at the end of the season? And obviously you'd point back to the Vinny injury, but you got to be able to overcome injuries. I mean, how many injuries have teams overcome in the past all over sports? You can't let an injury impact you like it did. But I think what it's going to do, whether or not the Royals make it into the postseason, and you said 4-2, I'm not going to argue with that. I think that's safe 4-2 over these next six games to get yourself into the playoffs. But they really need to do, though, this is the offseason where they need to be Brett Veach and go out there and analyze what they don't have and go out there and fix that. And the number one thing for me this offseason come to conclusion for me, I'm not going to argue this with myself ever again, they need bats in that lineup. The pitching has been good enough to win all of these games down the stretch. Maybe not the Saturday game. And I would trade Brady Singer, too. I'd boot him off the team. I'd trade him and see if you can get, you know, a bat back in return. You're going to have to make some hard trades and potentially some hard moves to improve your ball club. But, you know, you need bats in this lineup right now.
You definitely need a stick that can protect your MVP and your catcher. And I think that the strategy, I know it's not going to happen, but I'd love to see the experiment of Bobby Witt Jr. leading off. I think that if you can do that, it's not the same effect as like the Ken Griffey Jr. when they would lead him off in the mid-90s because they just wanted him to get at bats for home runs. I think if you're going to pitch around Bobby Witt Jr., if you lead him off, that creates two different scenarios. One, are you really going to start the game off with a leadoff walk? Mm-hmm. If so, challenge accepted.
Let's go.
What happens when the bottom of the lineup actually does get on base and all of a sudden, because we've seen this before, right?
Sure.
We saw it twice in the homestand. Tommy Pham came up with two guys on as the leadoff hitter.
Mm-hmm.
No production.
None.
Bobby Witt Jr. will come up with two guys on. You're not walking the bases loaded. I don't know who hits second, but I would probably put Tommy Pham at second. Takes a little bit of pressure off him. Don't need you to set the table. You got Bobby Witt Jr. in front of you. You got Salvador Perez behind you.
Would you go Bobby and Salvi 1-2 at the top of the lineup and say,
no,
the heck with it. Let's put our two best bats at the top of the lineup and see what happens.
No, I like it.
I don't.
You do like it. I don't mind it. I don't hate it.
I don't because the possibility.
It's better than playing the analytical game all afternoon. That thing sucks.
The possibilities of the double plays of Sal hitting second, wiping out your leadoff runner on first would just absolutely just kill me.
Would you send Bobby on the first pitch, though? Have him steal it? I mean, he's been so successful this year. Then now you got a runner on second, nobody out, Salvi up, base hit the other way. It's 1-0.
Right. And somebody in the text says, we've already seen Bobby Witt Jr. leadoff. It wasn't great. Not this year. He's hit second every single
every game. Every game, yeah.
He's played every game except one game he played DH, and he played shortstop and hit second every single game this year.
Yeah.
Last year was not this year. Enough.
Yeah.
I'd rather see him lead off and see what can happen.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
You're going to see what's going to happen with Detroit. They play at 12:10 today.
Why do they have a day game on a Tuesday?
Good question.
Are they playing a double? Thank you. Are they playing a doubleheader today?
I mean, I can look. I don't know. But Tarik Skubal will be at the mound.
And they have Tampa, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's in Detroit.
In Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a Red Wings game that they got to get out of the ballpark for?
Doesn't hockey start here shortly?
Yes. I'm not being like kind of facetious. Like the hockey does start here pretty soon. A day game on a Tuesday in Detroit? That's odd. And it's the beginning of a series because they didn't play yesterday, right?
Yeah. No doubleheader.
Yeah, hockey wouldn't start for another, like, month, right?
No,
right.
The preseason has started. Yeah, they're skating
it's
around.
It's already started?
Oh, yeah. Practice has started. Wow. I think we're going to see preseason here in the next week or so.
Yeah, I guess that's fair, because NBA starts in, like, 10 days.
Yeah,
so.
It happens fast. Yeah. Hockey and NBA, they don't take time off.
They play 12:10 today, 5:40 tomorrow, 12:10 on Thursday.
Is there some kind of, like, Detroit holiday, like, national, like, what do they eat there? Those Coney Island
tires
or something?
Yeah,
or some tires?
Ford, I don't know. National Tire Day, I don't know.
What do they eat in Detroit? He goes, tires.
I don't know what they do over there.
Yeah.
Yes, a well-balanced diet of tires.
Yes.
Cooked over an open flame. Yes. Yeah, like the Lions have been a tire fire for years, but I mean, what do they eat in Detroit? Tires. Excuse me?
Yeah. Motor City.
That's right.
Detroit, I mean, they have Detroit style pizza.
Yeah, those Coney Island hot dogs or whatever they call them,
yeah.
You know, with the, you know, the
sounds
chili
like the
on top.
Texline knows they right moved the game due to weather.
Oh, okay.
That hurricane coming up there on
gotcha.
The East Coast.
Yeah, that's really, is that what it is? That's affecting them? All right, whatever. Well, we had weather here yesterday, so I guess kind of moves
we
to
have
the
weather
East, right?
Day.
Yeah, I know we do. It's like when somebody says he's got a knee. Yeah, we all have two of them.
Yeah, there is just a ton of rain on that Upper East Coast moving into Detroit. It's just completely,
they may
not even play at noon.
Then you can wait all day and play at night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be, oh, he was tired. He didn't have the energy.
Yeah.
You're playing baseball. Get out there.
Tomorrow we will have Jay Binkley join the show, Matt Cotrero join the show as well. So I'm hoping there's a win tonight.
Yeah, I was just telling you in break, like, man, if they had to lose 8 in a row, it's going to be tough with Q tomorrow, right?
I might just give him the day.
Yeah.
Sit this one out, buddy. Don't worry about it.
It'll be good.
Yeah, he's a good sport.
Yeah, he is. But no, I mean, like, this is it. The season comes down to this, man. Like, everything that they've done doesn't matter at this point in time. If you can't finish, it just doesn't matter. And so the Royals got to find a way to finish this thing off, go 4-2 over these six, get into the postseason.
Yeah.
And then anything can happen. You never know. You can potentially go to Baltimore for the first, you know, series.
Right.
Maybe you win in Baltimore. Maybe you don't, and you never get a postseason game here. But at least it sets the table for where you are next season.
Right.
It's going to be a much better offseason for everybody if this team makes the playoffs and has that little bit of experience, and then you can build on that. Going into this offseason, falling short of the postseason, very dangerous potential carryover into next year. You don't want that to happen.
He's ready. He's champing the bit out there, which is one Alex Gold. I'm champing the bit for another Aperol Spritz. Had a good one last night.
Go do nice things for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. Coming up next, it's Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.